proud to introduce to you Senator Deb Fischer, United States Senator. And Senator Fischer, what an honor to have you come join us today. How are you?
I am good, Bob. It's great to be here with you again.
We're going to jump around topics, but first I want to ask what you and your husband-to-be were doing 50 years ago, because next week you two will celebrate your 50th wedding anniversary. So what were you two doing 50 years ago now?
Well, we were getting ready to be married on February 5th.
And where were you married?
We were married in Lincoln.
Okay.
And went skiing for a honeymoon, snow skiing for a honeymoon, and then back to the ranch.
Wow. Now, was that a huge change for you going to the ranch from Lincoln?
You know, we were young. We were in love. I never had a problem adjusting. It's a great place to live, a great place to raise a family, and I just always considered myself very fortunate to have a wonderful husband in Bruce, and we raised three sons in the ranch.
Well, congratulations to both of you.
Thank you.
Now, so we take you from Lincoln, and we take you to the ranch out in Cherry County. Now we're going to take you to Washington. So you have been there. You surprised a lot of people when you first got elected. I remember that a lot. And you have accomplished a lot. Can we talk about some of the things that you're involved in? I know you have several committees, Armed Services Committee, if I recall correctly.
Right. I'm a senior member now on Armed Services. I'm third in seniority on that committee, and chair the Strategic Forces Subcommittee, which has jurisdiction over STRATCOM in Bellevue in the Omaha area. Also our nuclear arsenal, our missile defense. And so those are things that obviously take a lot of time and that I focus on to make sure that we continue to modernize our deterrence, our triad that has kept us safe for over 70 years and keeps the world a safer place
now,
as well.
Now, does that mean you know what's going on in the Ukraine and Russia?
I've had briefings on that, yes.
Do those tend to be frequent enough that you're really up to speed on everything, but you can't share publicly a lot of that information?
Well, I've been here in Nebraska for this week.
Oh, right.
So in my conversations with my military aides, obviously we don't talk about classified things unless we are in a setting where that can happen. So, I'm keeping up to date on what's going on, and I know all Americans, all Nebraskans are very focused on what's going on with the Russian aggression that we see with Ukraine, with the buildup of troops, with the movements of tanks and with their Air Force. It is very, very worrisome. It is destabilizing to Europe, which means it's destabilizing to the world as well. And we are trying to follow that very closely and trying to keep in touch with the administration as well on actions that they are taking or plans that they should be making.
In the world of agriculture, as strong an ag state as Nebraska is, you sit on a pretty important ag committee. Can we talk about a couple things there? You've got a bill that you particularly are interested in.
Yes, ag committee is very important for the state of Nebraska. You know, agriculture is the economic engine here in the state of Nebraska. People in Fremont certainly understand that, the importance of a good, strong ag economy. Right now, I am really working hard on a bill. It's a Cattle Market Transparency Act. Chuck Grassley is one of my co-sponsors, along with Ron Wyden, who's a Democrat from Oregon, and John Tester, a Democrat from Montana. And we have a number of Republicans and Democrats who have co-sponsored the bill. It's really to help have more transparency, have more information available to producers so that they can make wise market decisions. We've seen the cattle market go through cycles. You know, my family, our kids are cow-calf producers, And you always expect cycles in any kind of market.
Mm-hmm.
But I think starting with that Holcomb fire that we saw in Kansas, there were a lot of concerns, a lot of worries on what happened to the market after that. And then when COVID hit, and we've seen, especially feedlot people, they've lost $800 a head.
Ouch.
Yeah, but you know, look in the grocery store.
Right.
What you know? What you're paying for a steak? So who's getting that money, and why do markets fluctuate that much? So we're just trying to get information out there to make it easier, as I said, for the family farmers, family ranchers to make wise decisions when they market their cattle.
Do you have some input from the major farm organizations? I'm thinking like Farmers Union, Farm Bureau, and,
yes.
and others. How do they
yes.
feel about
well,
that?
Well, here in Nebraska, very supportive. And Nebraska Cattlemen Farm, Nebraska Farm Bureau, Farmers Union, U.S. Cattlemen have been very supportive on this. And, you know, they understand the importance, as I understand, the importance of every segment of the industry, whether it's cow-calf or our feedlots, large ones, small ones.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Nebraska, we have three of the four big packers in the state.
Right.
We want everybody to succeed, but we also want to have information out there. As I said, so there's more transparency in a market that has such a huge impact, not just on a family farmer, but on the state of Nebraska as a whole, on our economy.
Indeed. Can you shed some light, particularly for someone like me who's a real layman when it comes to things like, well, in particular, this waters of the United States, which has kind of gone up and down depending upon who's the president, who's what administration's involved, what are their attitudes. What is that issue?
Well, it's a very complicated yet pretty simple issue.
Hmm.
I believe that the water in the state of Nebraska belongs to Nebraskans. You know, we own the water in this state. Whether it's groundwater or whether it's surface water, we have a good management system here in the state of Nebraska. First of all, with all the private property, 97% of the property in this state is owned privately. The state of Nebraska can regulate surface water. Our local NRDs can help regulate that groundwater. But we don't need the federal government getting involved. We don't need the federal government to expand authorities that they already have by saying that this interconnectedness means that they can control it and call it a navigable waterway, whether it's ground or surface water.
Yep.
You know, in my part of the state out in the sand hills, surface water and groundwater are the same things at different seasons. We have groundwater come up and flood meadows, and then it goes back down again. We don't need to see this kind of control being taken by the federal government, again, on a very, very important, precious resource that we have in the state of Nebraska. We can manage that ourselves. We have done a good job, and the federal government does not need to be involved. And it doesn't just affect agriculture. A few years ago, I had a Senate hearing here in the state, and it was addressing the concerns we have with regulations. And at the time, the home builders said that the cost of a new home would go up probably 25%. And in addition, because of all the regulations that are on it, and then you throw in waters of the U.S. on top of that, it would be even more than that 25% cost of a new home.
Yep.
That's ridiculous. It takes an American dream of owning your own home. It puts it out of reach for so many people.
Would you mind shedding some thoughts about inflation? I don't know if you have a committee that's involved in being concerned about how much it costs to buy our bread and our steaks and the rest, but do you have some feeling about the inflation trend right now and what may come of this?
Well, I'm really worried. You know, we've seen wages go up over 4%, but we've seen inflation go up over 7% on average.
Mm-hmm.
Even with a wage increase, people can't keep up with the cost of living, basically. People on fixed incomes, the elderly, our seniors, people who are on those fixed incomes. How do you manage when you have gas going up, when you have everything in the grocery store going up? Again, it's just very, very harmful for society as a whole. I don't think we've seen the last of the increases we're going to see in inflation.
Oh.
And I'm on the Commerce Committee. I am on a subcommittee that deals with surface transportation, but it also deals with ports. And you look at the congestion that we have at the ports. You look at the issues we have with supply chain. I just had a meeting with a bunch of small business owners here in Fremont that the chamber helped to organize.
Mm-hmm.
And, they are being hit by this inflation, by supply chain issues. They're hit by inflation. They're trying not to raise their costs, their prices so much that it puts things out of reach for people here in Fremont. But, some of them are really, really struggling in trying to keep their business afloat without increasing costs so much that it hurts their customers.
We're visiting with United States Senator from Nebraska, Deb Fischer, and I have kind of taken the lead with the questions. There must be something that you'd like to share that I didn't even dream of asking.
Oh, gosh, you know, I'm just excited to be able to be out. You and I were talking earlier. It's been a few years since I was in here visiting
right.
with you, Bob. That's what COVID just disrupted kind of our normal rhythm that we had. And it's nice to be back out. We had a recess this week, and I was out and about around the state, got to see some changes that are being planned out in North Platte for their airport, where they're receiving a little over $1 million this year through the infrastructure bill. The Kearney Airport and the Grand Island Airport are receiving that too. Talked to the mayor here in Fremont, that was bringing up some things with the airport here in Fremont. So my office staff will work with him to see what we can do and
very
being
good.
Able to look at things like that. So it's just so important, I think, as a United States Senator, to be able to be back out,
right.
be back out in the state, see what's going on, and especially important to listen to people as they tell me good things going on in their community, but also have questions for me and bring up concerns that they have. So I'm just excited to be here.
Is there a best way, if someone would like to get a hold of you or your staff, what's the best way to do that?
You know, just call my Omaha or my Lincoln office,
mm-hmm.
And they can put you then in touch with who you need to be in touch with. If it's a personal issue that you have where you're trying to deal with a federal agency, I have 15 people in the state of Nebraska that can help you.
Mm.
Or if it's a policy issue, they'll put you in touch with somebody in my office in Washington, D.C., where we deal with those policy issues.
I have one last question, and it has to do with what's the routine in Washington? How early do you get up?
Oh.
How early do you have to be in the Senate? Do they give you time to go to the bathroom to eat? How late you got to stay there? What's that like?
You know, I get up early. I usually am up, it depends, but between 5 and 6. And I try to get to the office then at an early hour. We're seeing more Nebraskans come to Washington again. COVID's letting up a little bit.
Yeah.
And I love, of course, meeting with every Nebraskan
mm-hmm.
when they come to Washington. We have committee hearings during the day. We have votes on the floor. And the Senate tends to work into the evening, so I usually don't get back to our place until 7:30, 8 o'clock. So it's a long day, but it's busy, and the time goes fast, and I'm just happy Nebraskans are coming back out to Washington, and I get to see folks from back home.
Indeed. Well, to you and Bruce, happy 50th anniversary next
week.
Oh,
thank you.
That's marvelous.
I am very lucky, so thank you.
Yeah, we are too to have you as Senator.
Thanks.
I appreciate you coming by. We're going to check our local news coming up, and I wish you a safe trip back, especially you'll be back there in Washington area around the time that all the roads should be plowed after the blizzard.
I hope so, because they do not know how to drive in Washington, D.C. in the snow.
Well, when we do our weather, we do have a report on what it's like out there, what they're talking about. So have a safe trip.
Thanks.
And thanks for coming by. United States Senator Deb Fischer on 98.9 FM, 1340 AM in Fremont, Nebraska.